Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change. Here, our second hour, we're continuing our doubleheader segment. I'd like to welcome back on the line Rick Conlow and Doug from WCW Partners. Welcome again, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Excellent.
Very well. Thank you.
Terrific. Well, we did a dynamite first segment. For those who might not have caught it, I'd like to give just a brief introduction to my two guests. Rick Conlow, he's the CEO and co-founder of WCW Partners, which is a global management consulting and training firm based in Minneapolis, St. Paul, with the mantra of "We develop the capability in you." And also with us on the line is his colleague, Doug Watzeberger. Who is the COO and co-founder of WCW Partners. And Doug, of course, he bills himself as a regular person with his feet on the ground and heading the realities of the daily challenges that clients face. And both these gentlemen, years of experience working inside of organizations as full-time leaders, and now with their partnership together as consultants, trainers, and as well authors of a multitude of books. In fact, the book here that we're going to talk about in this section is Superstar Sales, a 31-day plan to motivate people, build rapport, and close more sales. So again, welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Very good. Doug, your passion for sales, where does that come from? Were you the kid that always had the lemonade stand outside there at the end of the driveway?
No, I was really the kid that I grew up on a farm, and I was always looking for somebody to hang out with, and a lot of my influence was directed towards getting together with people that I just didn't feel like I could get enough time with them. So a shy person who has learned sales the hard way,
okay.
And I found that when you follow the methodology and do it well, it's very rewarding and very satisfying.
And you know, in fact, Doug, wouldn't some people jump to the conclusion that there's a stereotype that says individuals who are shy are not good salesmen?
I think that fits perfectly.
Yeah.
We generally see the person who's a successful salesperson as a blowhard, party animal who can talk their way into and out of any situation. And so it's often surprising to people to find that the other side of it, the quiet listener, the introspective thinker, when you have that connection that allows you to really understand your customer, you can make a huge impact.
Well, in fact, Rick, you'd, of course, ground us, as I know Doug would too, that really what it comes down to is the phenomenal capability to create and sustain, develop, and expand relationships, isn't it?
Well, sales is all about relationship today and helping people, your customers, get what they want or need. And so we believe, the personality type of the person who's in sales is as important as where their focus is. Is it on the customer, other needs, or is it on their own?
Yeah, isn't that true? And in fact, this book, just like your first book we spoke about, the Superstar Leadership Model, really puts people in that position of stepping back and trying to look hard at the skills as well as their orientation, particularly that action orientation, isn't it, Rick?
Well, it's you got to take action. You got to do something to sell something, but where is your focus? We believe strongly that some of the most important skills in selling has to do with doing your homework, understanding your customer, their market, their needs, whether it's consumer or business to business, and then being real good at listening to draw out what that is based on what you know and craft a solution to help them be successful. And there's a skill to that. It can be learned. You're not just born with it. People who think they're born with it, and kind of like Doug was describing earlier about that person that can talk their way in and out of anything, they're going to lose more sales than they make.
Particularly ones that you want to sustain. Doug, your book outlines then a very nice 5-step selling model. Could you run through those points for us, please?
Well, I can. And to get us into that, let me just kind of pick up a little bit on what Rick was saying. And I think it's one of the things that we find very frequently is that whether it's a 25 or a 30-year salesperson, they often crafted themselves so specifically to a sales presentation that that takes over, yeah. And they often, as Rick said earlier, they forget about the necessity to really understand the customer and where they're coming from. So the five steps that you're asking about, we've got to, first of all, establish rapport with the customer, build a relationship that allows for a comfortable exchange of information, because what we need to do is to learn things that may be painful or difficult mm-hmm. for the customer to talk about. And they won't do that with just any stranger who happens to show up. It requires trust and credibility and rapport. And then we need to be able to have a conversation that's primarily question-focused. I need to understand the customer's needs as they experience those needs, not just translate them into my reality.
You bet.
Make them, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so I've got to understand them as they see them. And then that empowers us to move into a consultative stage where we can begin to explore, create, and promote potential solutions. And along the way, we've got to be sensitive to their concerns, resistance, confusion, and to work with the customer to work through that and make sure that they feel that what we're bringing is, in fact, in their own best interest. And then, as Rick said earlier, we've got to be willing to help them to make a decision. And sometimes that's difficult when you've got a lot at stake, and oftentimes the best solutions don't always fit and take care of the needs and concerns that we have as fully as we'd like. Mm-hmm. So it's stepping through all of those.
And I think what you've outlined, Doug and Rick, in your book is that, because some of our listeners might interpret what we're saying is that this is totally custom work. Well, I think what you would say, Rick, is it's very custom, co-created listening and problem identification that you may then have an existing solution or something you can iterate, right?
Well, yeah, and how does you got to be able to craft your solution to fit the need of what the customer is, even though you may only have a certain select number of products.
Right.
But how is it going to benefit that account? What's the payoff for them with what you have to offer? And you won't learn that unless you're doing what Doug described earlier.
And particularly, Doug, being in conversation with them, and it kind of goes back to our previous discussion about superstar leadership, that sometimes in this day and age, the technology can get in the way of the touch that we
it
still
sure.
have to keep in mind.
Yes, we need to be connected to the customer and listening fully all of the time, and listening with our eyes as well as with our ears, mm-hmm. because sometimes they may not speak to the concerns they have, and the reactions can be very subtle, but it's a delicate dance to stay connected with our customers or potential customers in such a way that they feel helped and not manipulated into a particular solution.
Doug, can you give us an example of that? What success looks like when you're listening with your eyes and not your ears?
Well, we're watching for the unspoken. Mm. Sometimes it shows up in the flash of a facial expression. Maybe the eyes look, open wider, suggesting either there's a question or maybe a concern or maybe surprise. And rather than just assuming we know what that means, our coaching is to ask the question, to delicately, sensitively notice what you've seen and ask if there's something there that we need to explore, help open the door mm-hmm. for more in-depth communication.
Yeah, that's right. Rick, back to the whole sometimes stereotyping people are in the sales environment, I think I'd like to go a little couple steps forward there. In fact, I have very personal experience with this. My father, who was a phenomenal salesman, high-pressure sales that were very long in the medical industry for X-ray, CAT scanning equipment, and so on. Dad is a very quiet, understated man. But he had something that I think none of his colleagues did at the time, and I'll call it the hustle factor. Not the hassle factor, but the hustle factor, that he was always there before the doctors started their day, right? He was there before they got ensconced and things. So part of this, is it not also being mindful of the timing that's involved in what you do and how you do it?
Well, you have to have a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. Sales has been called the highest paid hard work and the lowest paid easy work. And so you got to be a student of the game. You got to be there. You got to be, you know, thinking ahead of where your customer is. How can you add value? You know, two other parts that we didn't talk about on our model is the planning and the preparation you do ahead of time, as well as the follow-up and follow-through you do on the other side of the relationship. And all of that kind of is what you're describing your father as. He gets there early, right,
mm-hmm.
before they did. And he knew what they needed and be able to answer their questions. And that's what superstars do. You know, part of our title for our book here and our leadership one is, you know, not only you look at the research to see what are the best of the best do, you look at other industries like, you know, the celebrities or in sports, LeBron James, Beyonce, Mark Wahlberg, Lady Gaga, you know, all those. Boy, they work hard. It doesn't come by accident.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think you're tying through, it's about the planning before in the moment, but then also the follow-up, which can call for course correction, right, Doug? Or
sure.
That's the delighting the customer with, oh, by the way, I know we didn't perhaps have a chance to cement the deal today, but here's three articles that might help you in the future. So you're constantly watering those seeds that you planted.
Absolutely. And, you know, to use your father as an example, most doctors have very brief time available. We're talking seconds, you know, 90 seconds to 5 minutes very often. And so I'm sure your father often had insights and ideas that popped up after the conversation and ways to support those doctors that he may not have had a chance to fully prepare and make present during that conversation. So you can keep selling by you know, continuing to demonstrate your commitment to providing value long after you've left that that doctor or any other customer's office.
Let me just add on to that.
Sure.
We call sales follow-up the greatest closing technique of all time. Because too many salespeople stop short. They make that presentation. If it doesn't work, they look for another one. When, in fact, with a little bit of extra value, a little another idea, a follow-up call, reconnection, they may have an opportunity to get that business.
You bet. And actually, as well, once you've got the business and delivered on it, how often we spend then all our energy on courting new customers and we lose sight of what we need to do to retain the current ones we have, let alone perhaps double their portfolio of other products or services they might be interested in securing with us.
Yeah, we had a client in that situation, been in business 90-plus years, number one in their industry, but they were kind of plateaued in their revenue. They wanted to improve. They contracted with us. We helped them go back to their current accounts and improve their results 75%. So there's a tremendous payoff with existing accounts because they have other needs. And now they've got a relationship with you. Let's show them how we can help them on something else.
That's right.
And it's so much easier to sell to those clients that we know and have the relationship with than it is to court and, you know, close new ones.
It is. You know, Doug, the other space, and I suspect that, and I know the two of you play in at WCW Partners, based on your own, both of your experiences before going into this consulting team activity together, is this whole link between customer service and retaining and growing your business. So would you say that your superstar sales book and methodologies and so on that you lay in front of us here are just as relevant to those involved in outside sales as those who are so vested with inside sales and connected to, quite frankly, a lot of difficult phone calls when things aren't working?
Yes, very much so. And I'll let Rick comment on this in just a second. I would just say we're just about to come out with another book, which is called Superstar Customer Service.
Service, okay.
And there is so much opportunity for additional sales by cementing the loyalty of our customers. And the only way we do that is to continue to study and understand what they want and what they need and to look for ways to continuously improve on the delivery of value to them. So very tight link there.
Rick, absolutely. And I would add, you know, this whole area of customer service and the customer experience, another passion for us. Most companies are failing miserably at that, even though we had a quality revolution over the last 20 years. But we say this, that excellent selling is excellent service. An excellent service is excellent selling. You just need to know how to tie it together, and there's ways to do that.
But, you know, you mentioned earlier that the highest paid hard work is sales and the lowest paid easy work is sales. But you know what? One of the toughest job, thankless job, and really is hard for people is that whole area of customer service. I mean, you're not, very rarely do you pick up the phone and hear someone extolling the virtues of your product. They're calling with all the problems. So, you know, still maintaining that mantle of the words you two have used here throughout this conversation of integrity, character, openness, listening, willingness to partner is so important.
Well, it all comes back to, again, it's people skills, and companies really need to change their focus. They spend most of their time and effort on the sales and marketing side of the business. They don't spend nearly enough on the customer service side or their employees that you were just describing that get the brunt of all the mistakes and problems. They ought to be the heroes of the business.
Well, and
they're often the people that are the lowest paid, that have the highest expectations placed on them. And just to draw a circle back to our conversation about leadership earlier, there's no more important place for a leader to coach and to recognize excellence than with people who are on the other side of those customer service complaints or contacts on a day-to-day basis. And if we treat them well and remind them of the value and help them to bring the full capability forward that they have, they can have a bigger impact on sales than virtually anybody else in the organization.
Yeah,
yet we treat those folks, customer service providers, like they're cogs in the wheel and replaceable. And if they don't have commitment to helping the company look good, it can really undermine high impact sales efforts and all the technology in the world. And some good people skills, some good sales skills, some good leadership skills can make a huge difference.
Isn't that true? We're speaking with Rick Conlow and also his colleague Doug Watzabaugh from WCW Partners. In fact, that's the website, wcwpartners.com. This particular book is Superstar Sales. You know, the question I would ask, you know, again, your book is very pragmatic and lays out models and skills and reinforcement. But, you know, Doug, can anyone become a salesman, a successful salesman in your mind?
Well, I think anybody can. We all sell every day. Mm. Sales is really nothing more than influence at its core. And so much of it, its essence is about, you know, finding the concern for the other person, demonstrating your care, building a relationship, understanding their needs. Now, we're talking about organizing and orchestrating it so that it happens in a professional and systematic way in a lot of cases.
Sure.
But so much of it's about learning the balance and the difference between true influence and manipulation. And we all know when we're being manipulated. And I don't know about you, but I resent that. And I run from it just about any time that it happens. So as soon as the door knocks and the push begins, usually I'm looking for an exit. And so we've got to go back and find out, how do I influence now? How can I modify my skills to be more effective?
Rick, so run with that a bit. The difference, or that balance, or that razor edge between influence and manipulation.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing a workshop, and I was doing a program on influence. The guy next to me was doing it on manipulation, and we looked at each other and said, there is that fine line, but here's where we believe it begins. And it kind of go back to what we talked about with the leadership. What's your approach? Do you really care about your customer and want to help them meet their needs and succeed, or are you just doing it to make a quick buck? And that's one of the key things we need to be able to deal with as salespeople. Are you out for it just to make money? Or do you want to fall into that trap that many have in the sales world, where people don't believe in salespeople. It's not a highly regarded profession, just above Congress, one of the lowest regarded professions, because there's a lot of sleazy people out there in terms of what they do. But if you care and you have integrity, that's going to shine through loud and clear. And that's what made me. And I'm one of those shy people. I did not want to be a salesperson. But I'm sure that taught me that, you know, if you have some integrity in what you do and you really believe in what you're doing, you can sell anything, because you're going to help a lot of people along the way. Help others be successful, and you'll be successful, is what he told me.
So there's a common thread between both of you, is that you both had some inherent shyness or reservation, but yet recognize the power and the necessity of doing this. Do you feel that then thus the influencing, the problem solving, that lithe continued dance of relationship, my guess, has served you very well then when you were in more internally facing operational roles? Doug?
Absolutely, and it has been a lifelong challenge, particularly when it comes to the difficult part of whether it's leadership or sales. Sometimes you have to bring bad news. Sometimes you need to redirect somebody's thinking or share an idea that you know is not exactly what they want to hear. And so we've spent a lot of time coaching one another. I know we've both also spent a lot of time in front of the mirror practicing words. And and those things are, when you're inside and you know, you cross somebody's viewpoint or way of thinking, obviously it can result in termination, where, you know, we might just miss a sale as consultants. So, yes, it applies both places. You know, you want to invest in the success of your internal client and your own career at the same time. So the influence skills are critical there.
You know, Rick, one topic we haven't touched on here in this whole area of sales, why I think a lot of people are hesitant to go there, is how do you deal with rejection? I mean, how do you deal with truly the no, the door gets closed, you missed it, and then pick yourself up and shake yourself down?
Well, we also believe that's a learnable skill. I mean, you know, a lot of salespeople, when they miss a sale, they go, oh, no, I screwed up. I really did poorly. Oh, my gosh. And they think about all the things they did wrong. Mm-hmm. See, the truth is, in selling, you can do everything right, not sell it.
Still not sell it. You're right.
Yeah. So what you have to do is, in your mind, say, okay, I didn't get the sale there. What can I learn from this?
Right.
What went well? What can I learn? What will I even do better next time? And so it becomes that learning process. And if we can teach that in our mind, the rejection just becomes another step to the next account and how we do a better job. And so that's learnable, but it comes back to being a lifelong learner, being willing to put in the time and effort. That's how you become a superstar. What you do is you put in the time and effort. That's why we did 31 days in here, bite-sized pieces, learn a little bit, get better at it, go on to the next thing, and before you know it, you find yourself, you're starting to perform better, and you get excited, and you get on the success track.
That's right. Doug, wouldn't you also say, though, that some of those rejections, that you then do the lessons learned, appreciative inquiry, don't beat yourself up, that actually were a good thing you didn't get the sale? You know, not to rationalize it totally, right, but to say there are times when you do need to walk away. Well, gentlemen, thank you again for joining us. The book I commend to our listeners, the second one, is called Superstar Sales, a 31-day plan to motivate people, build rapport, and close more sales. You can learn more about Rick Conlow and Doug Watsabaugh and their work at WCW Partners website, wcpartners.com. And, gentlemen, thank you very much again for contributing to our show today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Very great. Have a great weekend.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.